What does it mean? Okay, so I'm going to do that awkward, uncomfortable thing. I'm going to get you to turn to your neighbor. If it's your wife and you're not talking to her, you find somebody else. That's okay. No, I was watching you. I'm watching you, young fella. Hey, why don't you just turn to somebody real quick right around you and just have a quick conversation what you believe worship is. Ready, set, go. Find somebody. Okay, all right. Some of you guys have stopped talking already. I don't know what happened there. Dan, did she make you mad or something? Or did you guys get a good answer together? You got a good answer? What's your answer? What is worship? What is worship? Put you on the spot, right? Oh, praising and thanking. Fantastic, yes. Respect, good. Anybody over here? What is... Put who first?
Above what I want.
Him. Oh, him. 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 I wonder, do you capitalize your pronouns whenever you talk about God when you're writing about him? Do you? I just wonder, because some people argue about that. I always got in trouble when I was writing papers because I'd miss one and then I'd be in trouble. If you're going to do it with one, you got to do it with all of them. But God is worth, I think he's worth it to have all of those H's capitalized, but stop and think about it. Worship. Okay, worship. What does it mean to you? Anybody else over here?
Adoration.
Yeah, adoration. That's a great word. Adoration. The only one you can call awesome. Somebody remembered something from one of my sermons like 6 years ago. You know how many times I've caught people since then? Usually it's the other pastors, you know. Over here, worship. Have you come to any ideas of what you think worship is?
Live in ways that honor him.
Live in ways that honor him?
Faith no matter what.
Faith no matter what? Good. Yeah.
Losing yourself in his glory.
Sorry?
Losing yourself in his glory.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Losing yourself in his glory. Losing yourself in his glory. That's good. That's good. You said something over here?
Essential.
Essential. Essential. Good word. Worship. When we stop and think about this series that we've been on, Believe, we've talked about 10 things already that we've talked about are key. Did you get that? They're key. Key beliefs in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. 10 key beliefs. And when we come to number 11... we're not on beliefs anymore. We've actually now we're going to move from beliefs to practices. So we're going to start now onto 10 key practice. But here's what's really cool about the very first one. This whole concept of worship, do you know what? It relates to every single one of the very first 10 beliefs. Because when you stop and you think about it, my worship needs to find its foundation in what I believe. Hopefully now these 10 core key beliefs are settling to not just be, you know, head knowledge, but they're actually moving. Remember we did that whole diagram with the guy and the girl, and we talked about how so many times our faith is cerebral, it's mental, it's the thinking, and it hasn't moved that hardest 12 inches in the whole world from your head to your heart. And so now we are actually going to do that because these next 10 practices are all about living out of what we believe. Living out what we believe. First 10 are about think. The second 10 are about act. And when we get going a little bit farther on, later in spring, we're going to talk about how we become like Jesus. 10 key virtues after that. So when we stop and we think about these, this idea of worship, just to start really quick, I've given over control to Master Eric over there, and he's going to help us really well. So when we get to this first one, we want to give you just a starting definition of what worship is. Not even worship to our true God, but just period, worship, period, okay? It says this, attributing worth to someone or something. That's what worship is. And do you know that every culture in this world has a concept of worship? Every single culture in this world. They've gone to the deepest, darkest jungles of this world, and they found that they worship something. They found that worship is a key, integral part of their life, where they are. Worship. Everybody's doing it. But who are they worshiping? Even those around us. I mean, this is quite the place to live because you see all kinds of gods in this valley, all kinds of false gods. We call this a place of recreation, recreation. We see this place as a place people come here to celebrate their god of fun, their god of skiing or of snow or of owl, right? We see people worshiping the party, the party life, this valley. You know, I was reminded again recently how much drugs there are in this valley. And people come here to do their drugs. People come here to party in that way, and it becomes like to them a god. There's so many right here in our valley. There's so many people. Our neighbors are all worshiping something. And it's our desire. I really believe what John Piper said. He said missions exist. You know why missions exist? Missions exist because the worship of God is not. That's why missions exist. If people all around us were worshiping God, there would be no need at all for missions. You think about that for a second. Missions exist because the worship of God does not. See, worship is not some earthly event that we attend, but it's rather a heavenly activity in which we take part. And even right now, we just finished singing the beautiful song, some old and some new. And you had an opportunity to worship. Maybe you're here today and you sang the songs. Did you worship? I don't know. Because sometimes we can just sing songs. They're pretty. They're beautiful, but our heart doesn't engage in them. There's a place that we cross over sometimes when a song stops becoming a song and it becomes something more. It doesn't matter if it's just a song, it could be a poem. It could be one statement that turns from a thought in my mind to worship from my heart. I wonder if you've experienced some of that even today. As Christians in our personal and our corporate worship of this one true God, we are attributing, we are ascribing worth to God, to Him alone. Doesn't matter if the method, doesn't matter if it's praise or singing or speaking or physical expression, we're both believing in Him and communicating to Him. You know, there's lots of ways that we can have, we can take a posture of worship. You know, some people think, you know, every time you see anything on media or whatever of somebody worshiping, what's their posture usually? Well, some people worship like that, catching flies. I was gonna bring that video again today, but I thought I'd get in trouble if I played it twice in 1 year, almost a year. Yeah, we got you know, the comedian doing the whole hand, how you do church hand signals. I think, you know what, when you close your eyes and just forget about everybody else around you, you worship the way that God lets you worship. I think sometimes it's all in our head. We get stuck. We get stuck. Well, I'm going to raise my hands. The person beside me might think I'm weird. Guess what? They probably already think that. It's okay. Let it go. Let it go, you know. Some of us are hands in the pocket, you know, kind of worship. Some of us are moving a little bit, and that's okay. Some of us want to just, let go. I'll tell you, when I'm leading worship and I see people lost, they're not paying attention to me anymore, I think, man, that is fantastic. That is great, because they have lost themselves, right? Let go of themselves to worship God. This whole idea of attributing worth, doesn't matter what method that we're using. It matters that we are declaring with our body, maybe with our posture, but more important from the inside out. Because I can give all the posture you want. I can be on my knees and raising my hands. But you don't know what's going on in my heart. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't. But the one who does, he is the author of our worship. He's the one that deserves it. He's the one that deserves your heart. He deserves worth from you to him. And so there's this whole statement that I just stop and I go, if we could just stop everything and just say this one sentence, not from just our head. We've got to start there. We've got to start there. And we're going to get there in a minute. I want to use just one key passage today to take us right to the table. Bring us right to the table and to what he has done for us. When I stop and I think about this one statement, you can say it, I can say it in our head, and we start there and we go, yes, I believe that. Believe that. Because you can't. You can't declare something you don't believe and it become worship. You can't do that. It has to be something that you believe in your head, in your mind. Then it moves down to your heart, to your soul. And guess what? It ends up coming out of your hands, in your mouth, in your feet. This is worship. Simple statement like this. God, you are worthy. Everything I am, everything you've given me, you are worthy. Stop and think about that for a minute. In your own life, is that true? Start here. Is it true here? Is it true in your heart, your soul? Is it true in your strength, your abilities? How do I honor God the way that he deserves? How do I worship him the way that he deserves? This is a good key question for us to consider today. How do I honor God in the way that he deserves? You know, when we worship God for who he is, we are simultaneously expressing some very strong convictions. And I think when we go right back to the start of this series, we started in the first week of January. We talked about the fact that we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That belief was God. Do you believe that? Do you declare it? God, I believe in you. That's worship. We believe that God is involved in and he cares about our daily lives. This is the second belief we talked about. Personal belief. And we declare it, and we worship him. We understand it in our mind. We move it to our heart, and we say, God, I believe that you're personal. I believe that you care about everything that's going on in my life. I think you care about all that's happened to me and all that's going to happen. I worship you. We move to the third one. We believe that God has provided a way for us to be made right with him by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This belief is about salvation. God provided salvation for me. Oh, God, I didn't even know how much I needed you. And you reached out and did this for me. I worship you. We believe that God's word, it guides and it directs our beliefs and our actions. This is our belief about the Bible. And we say, God, you are worthy. You're worth it. We worship you. We say that we believe that we have significance because of our posture as a child of God. This is the belief of identity in Christ. And we stop and we recognize, God, you know me from the inside out. You've made me your child. I believe that. I want to live that. I worship you. We believe that the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purposes on earth. This is all about what God did in creating the church, bringing crazy people together. I'm counting myself, okay, first. Crazy people together, a motley crew of all kinds of people from all different places and thinking and expressions, and he brings us together and he puts us together in such a perfect way that I need you and you need me, even if you do live in Calgary. I need you. You need me. He's brought us together, and we can stop and we can say, oh, God, you're amazing. How come you knew that I needed that person? I worship you. We believe that our God loves people, and all people need Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is that conversation that we had about believing about humanity. No matter how broken and messed up I am, God loves me. He said so. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, inherits eternal life. Amen? And we worship him. He loves me. We believe that God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. He set the example for compassion by giving his very life for us. He showed us that we should be compassionate. And we turn to him and ask for his help to be compassionate with my neighbors or maybe with that person that rubs me the wrong way. And he gives me the love to share with them. Guess what? I worship him. I believe it here. I live it here, and it comes out of here. Do you get it? We believe that everything that we are, everything that we own, it belongs to God. This is the belief of stewardship that we talked about. And in stewardship, we have an opportunity to say thank to God, to give back to God, and in this way, we worship. We worship him. Every single one of these beliefs, even to the very last one about eternity. Eternity. We talked about this last week. Pastor Matt brought this message that we believe that there is a heaven and a H-E-double hockey sticks. No, you just got to say it. We believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell. We believe that people's lives are on the precipice. And it's our responsibility to go and to rescue and redeem in the name of Jesus. And we worship. As we clearly see through all of these beliefs, they lead us to a place of worship. There's a deep intertwining of the key beliefs and the key practices of worship. See, worship is that first discipline of the Christian life. He's called us, the very first thing he's called us to when he saves us is to turn our attention from ourselves to him. Guess what? It's worship. This is worship. Worship is that first spiritual discipline of a Christ follower. And it helps the key beliefs move from our head to our heart. From thinking to acting. Acting from our heart, our soul, our will. And so the key idea today is that I worship God for who he is and what he has done for me. You've already heard our key verse a few times. The girls said it for us. I want you to say it with me. You ready? Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And I think that you guys are still a one coffee short of being alive or something. You got to stand up with me. Stand up. Come on. You speak louder when you're standing. I'm sure of it. Turn me down so you can't hear me that much, Chris. Here we go. Let's try it again. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Okay, turn me back on. So, I want to use one passage here today. It's a passage that you've heard me speak from, dozens of times. I'm not going to the one that I usually use, which is in Matthew chapter 22. Can you guess what famous passage I'm going to speak from today? Get on already. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It's a very familiar verse. It says this, "Hear, O Israel," Jesus speaking, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." I'm going to keep reading. The second is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." No commandment greater than these. And I want to just bring just a really simple message today that I hope that is going to reverberate in your heart and your life even as you leave here. It's really simple. God wants us to worship him with our mind, with our heart and our soul. I put those two together, forgive me. And with our strength, you know. We think strength like this. I think strength like this. I think strength is much more about giving back to him. It's about serving one another that worships him. My abilities. So I want to talk today just about these three areas. Because we worship God with the songs that we sing, the words that we speak, with the way that we live our lives. Loving God is worship. What does this commandment teach me about worship? I think first, God wants me to love him thoughtfully. It says that we need to love him with our mind thoughtfully. In other words, he wants us to think through, not just to do it without thinking. He wants us to think through. He wants us to use our brains. He wants us to worship him with our thoughts. Worship him with our logic. To worship him with mysteries we don't understand. He wants us to worship him thoughtfully. Second, God wants me to love him passionately. He says, with all your heart, with all your soul. I know I pulled those out of order just because I thought it would be better to go like this, okay? Anybody forgive me? Because it's all in this passage. Thanks, Matt. He wants me to love him passionately. He says, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, I want you to love me passionately because I passionately love you. Oh, it's good. And third, he says, I want you to love me practically. Just real practical. Love me with all of your strength, with your abilities. See, the truth is that even though God created the entire world, the universe, he created you, he created me. There's three things that God does not have unless you give them to him. He doesn't have your attention unless you give it to him. That's loving God with our mind. He doesn't have your affection unless you give it to him. That's loving God with our heart and our soul. And God doesn't have your ability unless you give it to him. He created us with these abilities and these gifts. And then he wants us to worship him with them by giving them back. By using them here in the church. Using them in your workplace. By using them wherever you are. I always pick on the plumber in the room. When I say, you know what? You can be a plumber and worship God at the very same time. Is that true? We're going to get there and talk about that as well. Yeah, he doesn't have your ability unless you give it to him, and that's loving God with our strength. Whenever you take the things that God has given to you and you give them back to God, that is the heart of worship. So let's start there. Worship is focusing my attention on God. It's focusing my mind, my thoughts, and my attention on God. A lot of other religions, the idea of worship is to kind of put your mind into neutral, to sort of lose your mind in the universe. But the truth is that God wants us to worship Him thoughtfully and logically. I love how scientists are finding God in everything these days. Have you noticed? Have you read any articles? You read some of these articles and you go, wow, that scientist became a Christian because he found that God must be real. Because of his practicing, his science. I don't want to say Scientology. That's not it. It's not Scientology. They're not practicing science. It almost came out of my mouth. It did. Oh, man. That's a whole different thing that you might want to study sometime and be aware of. But the scientists all around us are discovering proof for God in the middle of their work. And they can't deny it. And it's happening right here in the understanding and the logic of our minds. Some would say that Christianity is a religion of emotion. I say, no way. I didn't check my mind at the door when I went to university. I didn't check my mind at the door when I enter into conversation with my neighbors and my friends. I want to speak through my heart because I love them, but I want to speak intelligently because I know that God, oh, He's deep. And we can worship Him with our mind. We can worship Him by going and studying. We can worship Him by recognizing in the institutions of education today, we can go there and we can recognize how worthy God is. Amen? Oh, it takes energy, though. It takes energy. Get my mind focused on God sometimes. It takes a lot of energy. Not just going through the motions, but really, you know, really thinking about Him. I don't know about you, but I'm a little... Squirrel! Did you see that? I get lost lots. I get distracted a lot. Have you ever prayed on autopilot? I'm laughing because I do it all the time, you know. So we come to supper and I might have a good quiet time in the morning and I'm worshiping Him and I'm praying through all of these really cool things. Then when I get to my meal, God, thanks for this food. You bless us like crazy. Thanks for our kids. Amen. Did I pray for the food? I can't remember. Praying on autopilot. We do it all the time. And yet he needs, he wants, he desires us to focus. If somebody asked you what you just prayed, you'd have no idea sometimes. We just pray on autopilot. Do you ever zone out in church? Not while I'm speaking, of course. Sometimes, you know, you zone out and you kind of go, what was that message that he was talking about? Can't remember. The guy beside me was snoring. The baby was really cute in front of me. That girl's shoes were really interesting. The wood grain. Have you ever noticed the wood grain behind the pastor's head? That cross is really interesting. Have you ever? It takes a lot of energy to focus our mind on God. I know, I've sat there too. I've experienced the challenge because I'm a distracted sort. And you know why? Why sometimes I need to stop and I need to take out a pen and I need to write some notes because that's the best way for me to focus. Focus on what God has for me through the preacher, through the teacher. Write it down or lean forward. Pastor Matt, you've probably seen me doing this for you. I lean forward, man, because I want to actually be focused and paying attention. When you see me lean back, you got to start worrying. Somebody behind me should just give me one of those. Focusing on God. I wonder, do you remember the first time you fell in love? You just couldn't get enough of that person. You couldn't get them off your mind. Oh, you do remember. Frank's got a big grin on his face. Yeah, you remember. You thought about that person when you woke up in the morning. You thought about them all through recess. You thought about, you found reasons to walk past their, you know, their locker. They might just be there. You drive by their house on your tricycle. Yeah, you thought about them all day long. You just thought about them. You just thought about them. I know it's infatuation sometimes. And that focus kind of wears off. But God, the Bible tells us that His love for us is eternal. His love for us is focused all the time. He wants to teach us to focus our heart and our attention on Him. See, I know how difficult it is sometimes. It's difficult to focus on God. Honestly, the easiest thing to do in life for us as human beings is to lose focus. I think sometimes I got spiritual ADHD. Not even joking. The best times for me to actually study is when I get out of this building. Because when I come in and I sit down at my desk, there's so many distractions. There's so many other things I got to do and pay attention to. Mrs. Rourke wants me to get rid of my PhD, which is piled higher and deeper. There's so many things. And so for me, sometimes I actually have to get out of here to get away from people, which is really hard for me. And so sometimes I'll just drive down to the beach and I'll just sit on a picnic table down at the beach and just say, God, I need to focus on You today. I need You. I'm here to be with You. My head and then my heart. I want to be with You. What about you? How do you do that? Because we're not like those autofocus cameras that you might have. You know, you just point it at something and it focuses automatically. I wish I was like that, but I'm not. We have to physically decide to focus. I need to intellectually decide to focus. Sometimes I have to put myself in a posture where I can intentionally focus. How do we do that? First of all, you can start by doing just a real simple, establish a time and a place each day. I don't care if it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, or an hour. Spend some time specifically focused on God. The Bible talks about that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, and I love the Message version, so you can go ahead and read it yourself, Matthew 6, 6, but in the Message it says it this way, and I use this so often. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. You got to find a place to do this. In the Old Testament, there was only one place. That was the temple or the tabernacle before that. Today, Christ has tore down. He's ripped that big, huge, 1 foot thick curtain. He's ripped it in two so that worship can be anywhere at any time. We stop and we focus and say, God, You are worthy. We don't have to go into the temple anymore. We don't bring an offering to be sacrificed on the altar anymore. Right here, we get to enter into the very throne room of God. Oh, there's so many verses that we could bring to, but I just saw the clock. So, worship is expressing my affection to God as well. It's loving Him with my heart and my soul. See, for some of us, it's kind of difficult because you grew up in families that didn't know so much about expressing affection. I've been in one of those families. But here's the good news. God loves us, and He is so affectionate to us. I love the fact that I can learn everything about love because, as 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, He loved me first. And so we love because He first loved us. And so we can express our affection to God. Many religions, God is a very angry tyrant. And you appease God, and you have to avoid God, and you have to kind of run from God, and you have to be afraid of God. But that's not the real God. The real God, the Bible tells us, that He wants love from us. He wants to be loved. He didn't create us as robots so that we would do things perfectly for Him. He made us with a free will. And the best thing about having a free will is that when we turn and worship Him, He loves that. That's what He desires from us. Hosea 6:6. I'm skipping a whole bunch, but Hosea 6:6, God says this to Hosea. Do you remember Hosea? Do you remember Hosea's story? God said, I'm going to give you a wife, but she's going to be an example of what's happening in Israel right here and right now. And you go, okay, I'll sign up for that. No, you don't want that. She kept leaving him to go and have relations with other men. This is an example of the Israelites leaving God all the time and going to other gods. And here's Hosea, and he's having to figure some of this out. And God says to him, look at Hosea, this is what I want from you. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want what's happening at the temple. You know why? Because what's happening at the temple, it's empty. People are going through the motions. They're just coming to church. They're doing this when they have to so that other people can see they're worshiping God. They're going through the motions. I don't want your sacrifices. I want you. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So how can we express our affection to God? What's one way, really simply, that we can express our affection to God? Anybody know? Tell Him what? That we love Him. Is anybody thankful? Tell Him. One of the things that I did when I was doing my master's course is, the teacher just said to us, you need to keep yourself, open up some kind of diary or journal or something, and just start writing on there the things that you are thankful to God for. Snow. I didn't write that. Oh my goodness. How can we express our affection to God? Just start saying thanks. Say thank you. Start looking around at everything that you have, everything that He's given to you, and say, thank you, God. God, thank you for the beautiful sky today. Thanks. What else did I write here? Thanks for the white mountains. I wrote that. Thank you for clean air. Thank you that I'm still breathing. Thank you that I live in Canada. I have freedom. Thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you that I had something to eat. Thank you that the snow is melting. I wrote that. I did. You could go on. Everything that you look at is because of God. Begin to focus and express your affection on God by saying thank you. Start by being thankful. We worship focus our attention on God. Our worship is expressing affection to God, and our worship is using our abilities for God. This is loving God with all of our strength. See, God, He wants us to focus our minds, and He wants us to sense Him with our heart and our soul and give Him our affection, and He wants us to serve Him with our strength, with our abilities, with the abilities that He's given to us. And I've been married long enough to know that it takes more than just words and kisses to express affection. There's a lot of other kinds of ways to love. And we need to know that. We need to back up our love with those ways. How many people here how many ladies have read the book? Five Love Languages? How many men have read it? A couple of us? Oh boy. It's a fantastic one to use in your marriage and in your relationship and with your kids. It's fantastic to know that there are other ways that we show that we are loved. We're shown love in different ways, and guess what? God is exactly the same. God has given us how many different abilities are even in this room right here. He's given us that many ways to show our love for Him. You might not have been on worship team today. You might not be teaching kids this morning. You might just be here and, you know, you're the plumber or the appliance guy. And you get to worship Him with your gifts and your abilities. You don't have to be able to play guitar to worship Him. You don't need to be able to be a great singer. We want your voice. Even if you think you can't sing, we want your voice because it reflects your heart of worship to God. It reflects who you are to God. And we don't have time to even sing the song that I was going to sing, but God knows what's going on here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for people." If you get this verse, if you really get it, it'll revolutionize your life. Everything that we do can be worship to God. It needs to enter through the mind. We need to understand the worship factor. It needs to come to our heart, and it needs to be expressed as worship, and it needs to come out of our hands. Our abilities, our strengths, our growth areas even, our abilities that He's given to us can be worship to Him. So I thought the best way to finish today's message would be that when we come back to the whole statement of what the whole key idea, what is worship? I worship God for who He is and for what He has done for me. And when I stop and I think about what He has done, what He did on the cross for me, I can't help but worship Him. I can't help but saying, "Oh God, thank you." And I thought that the best way to end today's service is by actually coming to the table and to worship Him. That is one of the very first worship services that was ever created. Jesus said, "We are going to celebrate the Passover together, but it's going to change because I'm the bread, I'm the broken bread, I am the spilt out wine." And then He did it for us. He went and did it physically. And now we have this celebration of the table, the Lord's Supper, communion. Some people call it the Eucharist. This place that we get to remember what He did for us. And I think that the greatest opportunity of worship that we have is to come to Him and remember what He did for us. I know it's not the last Sunday of the month, and I'm throwing some of you folks off, but we're going to have communion today as a response to worshiping God. And we're going to then finish with a benediction as soon as we're done, and we're going to send you on your way. And my prayer for us today is this, that we will learn to say thank you, that we will learn to worship Him with our mind, our words, our heart, our soul, our strength, and our abilities. Let's pray. God, as we come before you today, we want to remember what you have done for us. This amazing gift of your life given for us. Your body broken for us. Your blood spilled for us. To give us life. Lord, I want to ask that as we come today, we would come and we would worship you. We would receive and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, here's our encouragement today. Come. We're going to have a couple of elders on this side and a couple here. I want you to come, receive the bread with your hands out. That way we refrain from sharing the germs too. You will be served. And when you are served, you will hear these words. My body broken for you. My blood spilled for you. And accept those words of Christ and his work for us and worship him. Partake right there and then head back to your seats. Okay? Church, let's come. needs to start in our mind, what we think about God, what we believe about Him. And it moves to our heart, and it affects how we act. And it moves to our hands and becomes the fruit of our heads, the fruit of our lips, the fruit of our feet. And it all becomes worship when it's done for His glory and for His honor. I thought it'd be good for us to finish today as we the way that we started. And I invite you to stand together and join me as we together declare, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." May your life this week reflect worship, the worship of the one and only, worship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Thank you. Oh, you got my heart. You started playing Jesus Loves Me. It was like, oh. It was really cool. Thank you.
And I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Cause it's all about you. It's all about you.